We are on Yud Beis Amud Aleph at the top, a brand new topic which is going to take us basically Yud Beis Amud Aleph and down to the Mishnah on Yud Beis Amud Beis. It doesn't look like a lot of Gemara, but it's a very significant topic. It will come back again later in the Masechta as well. It is the topic of Mitoch. So in order to understand Mitoch, we need to first see a pasuk and a gemara in Ksuvos, which I brought you on your sheet. The pasuk in Parshas Bo, when we're introduced to the first of the Yom Tovim, Pesach, the pasuk says, "Ubayom Rishon Mikra Kodesh, the first day shall be declared holy. Ubayom Hashvi'i Mikra Kodesh, as well as day seven, Mikra Kodesh Yelachem. Kol Malacha Lo Yeyasev Ahem, no malacha shall be done on those days, meaning day one and day seven. Ach." But that which is eaten by all nefesh, by everybody, that alone shall be done for you. That's the pasuk. So that is the source for the het thereof, ochal nefesh, being allowed to do malacha on Yom Tov for the sake of eating. And if you take a look at Beis from the Gemara in Ksuvos, the Gemara there is talking about the issue of Bia Rishon on Friday night, for a man and a woman to be together for the first time on Friday night, and the concern that he's going to cause her to bleed. So, Rav Papa Mishmei Derava Amar, B'Yom Tov Shari, B'Shabbos Aser. So Rav Papa, quoting Rava, says this is not a problem on Yom Tov. The issue of wounding her by causing her to bleed is only a Shabbos issue. It's not a Yom Tov issue. Amalei Rav Papi l'Rav Papa. So Rav Papi says to Rav Papa, "My daitach, what's your thinking on this? Why do you say that? If your argument is mitoch shehutra chabura letzarech hutra nami shalo letzarech, that since you are allowed to create a wound letzarech for the sake of need, which is shorthand for letzarech ochal nefesh, for the sake of being able to eat, so therefore, meaning, let's say." Shechita, for example, is allowed for the sake of being able to eat on Yom Tov. So if you're going to tell me that since it's permitted for the sake of food, it's also allowed for a purpose other than food. If your argument is mitoch, ela me'ata, then based on that we should also say, mutar lasos mugmur b'Yom Tov. You are allowed to make a mugmur on Yom Tov. Mugmur was the practice at the end of a meal. They would bring out spices and put them on coals. And this would create a nice smell that would waft through the room as they're digesting their meal. So he says, you should allow mugmur on Yom Tov. Mugmur involves lighting a fire. You know, the dimitoksha from an existing flame, obviously, but lighting a fire. Dimitoksha hutra havara litzarech, hutra nami shalo litzarech. You should permit that too. Once you're willing to accept the idea of mitoch, to say that I am allowed to wound for this purpose, because I'm allowed to wound for eating, so why don't I apply that when it comes to the mugmer spices? So Amar Lei, to which he replied, or Papa replied, Alecha Amar Kra, regarding your point, the pasuk says, Ach asher ye'ochel lechol nefesh, we emphasized in the pasuk, that which is eaten by everybody. Davar hashav lechol nefesh. So it's that which is the same for everybody. In other words, that which we consider to be a standard human form of enjoyment, that's what's going to be permitted under the rules of mitoch. So ochal nefesh will be permitted, and also I'll be allowed to do the malachos that I'm allowed to do for ochal nefesh for other things that are generally enjoyed by people, as opposed to the mugmer spices, which is sort of an acquired taste. It's something that either you like or you don't. This incense wafting around the room, so that's not permitted. So I'm not really getting into the discussion here about the man and the woman being together for the first time on Yom Tov night, or the mugmer.
That's Shabbos even.
Or Shabbos.
What's his thinking or purpose?
What do you mean? His thinking in not allowing it on Shabbos? It's the bruising issue if he causes her to bleed. Doesn't matter. So what?
Chabur is not about malacha, is it?
Yeah, it is.
It is.
Yeah, I mean, there's a whole discussion there in the Gemara about what exactly our concern is. And in terms of making a chabura, it's an av malacha, whether it's netilah, it's neshama, whether it's silveya, different explanations for what exactly it is that's involved in doing that. It's a whole sugya in the beginning of Psuvos. But the point for us is not that. What I wanted to show you is the statement of the concept of mitoch. That since you are allowed to do certain malachos for the sake of ochal nefesh, for the sake of food, even though it's Yom Tov, you are also allowed to do those malachos for other needs, so long as your goal is a benefit that is normal for people, something that your run-of-the-mill person would enjoy. You picked out people on the street and asked them, is this something you like? They would say yes. That's what we're talking about. And again, that Shabbat HaLachol Nefesh requires discussion, but it's not for right now. But that prepares us for the discussion that we're going to have in the Gemara. We begin with a Mishnah, which does not articulate Mitoch explicitly at all. And it's a debate between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. You will recall, I'm sure, that the previous Mishnah dealt with Beis Shammai versus Beis Hillel in terms of various Yom Tov activities, right? The whole discussion about Hitiru Sofo Mishum Tchilaso, or Tchilaso Mishum Sofo, allowing someone to do something, because in the end, Hitiru Sofo Mishum Tchilaso, allowing him to do something at the end in order to make sure he would do something in the beginning, right? Allowing him to put the shutters back on so that he'll take them off in the first place, and so on. So we continue with the debate between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel on a different front. Beis Shammai Omrim, Ein Motzi'in, Loas HaKatan, Veloas HaLulav, Veloas Sefer Torah, L'Rishus HaRabin. Beis Shammai says, you're not allowed to transport a child, a lulav, or a Torah in the public domain. What is the common denominator between child, lulav, and Torah? So Rashi says, "Kol mili delav tzarech achila." Anything that is not for eating purposes. So each of these is actually significant in its own right, and we'll have to see, what each of these adds. But the point is, even though these are items which are important items, even though some of them at least are mitzvah activities, maybe even all of them, we'll have to see. So we'll see that in a Tosfos. But because it's not for food, Beis Shammai says, Hotzah is prohibited. Ubeis Hillel matirin, but Beis Hillel says, no, you're allowed to. Yeah.
So this is because Beis Shammai doesn't
have to be told. So that's what we need to find out. The Gemara's debate fundamentally is what exactly are Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel disagreeing about, and we're going to have two possibilities. One possibility is that they're debating mitoch. The other possibility is that they're debating whether there's any issue of hotza'ah on Yom Tov at all. Who says that there's any prohibition against transport on Yom Tov altogether? We know about it for Shabbos, from the wagons that they had in the Midbar and the transport that went on there. Maybe that doesn't apply. And Al Yetzei Yishma Mekomo, maybe it doesn't apply on Yom Tov. So we have to see. But that's exactly what our Gemara wants to know. What is this debate about between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel? So, Tani Tana Kameh, Rav Yitzchak Bar Avdimi. Rav Yitzchak Bar Avdimi is in Beis Medrash. And someone starts to teach the following lesson in front of him. Hashochet Olas Nedava B'Yom Tov Lokeh. If you shecht a karban ola on Yom Tov, and it's a karban ola that you are bringing voluntarily, so you get malkos for that. What are we talking about? So first of all, the reason why we stress nedava, that it's a voluntary ola, is to distinguish it from an obligatory ola. Let's say, for example, the karban tamid. We bring two of them a day, and those are not nedava, those are not voluntary, those are obligatory. Take a look at Rashi, the first Rashi on the Gemara, olas nedava. He says, "De'ilu olas chovas hayom." If we're an ola that was an obligation of the day, Rahmana Sharia, the Torah permits that.
But an ola or chattis, you wouldn't be able to.
Correct.
Why is he using dava?
Because
why doesn't he use something which is even less voluntary and more of a obligatory, in the sense that you have to bring it, but not necessarily today.
Because the ola may also be something you need to bring that day. You need to bring just not that day. You have a nazir who's finishing. No, an ola.
Oh, I was nedava. You're talking about
no,
ola.
Well, no. Forget the word nedava for a second.
Yeah.
two separate descriptions of this carbon that we're talking about. One feature of it is that it is nedava. The other feature of it is that it is an ola. Each feature is going to matter. The reason we say, you'll see why we say ola in particular. But the point right now... Hang on. What I said, we'll see it in a minute, is because I wanted to get to it second, not first. The idea of nedava, first of all, is that since it's a voluntary karban, it doesn't have any reason why it has to be brought today. And therefore, I was supposed to wait. As Rashi concludes, Aval zu yesh la'akriva la'achar Yom Tov. You should have brought it after Yom Tov. There was no reason to bring it on Yom Tov proper. That's why we mentioned Nedava. The reason we choose Ola in particular is what Gerard said, which is because you're not going to get to eat any of it. An Ola is burnt entirely. If a person brings the Chatas inappropriately on Yom Tov, so it's true that you weren't supposed to bring it, and there's a problem with putting parts of it on the Mizbeach. However, the Shechita doesn't carry any liability because you get to eat part of the Karban Chatas. So it was just like shechting anything else for food, except that it was a Karban you weren't supposed to bring. But that's why we use this case in particular of the Olas Nedava. It is a Nedava, and therefore it wasn't meant to be brought today. And it's an Ola, and therefore you're not getting to eat any of it. So this student is repeating the lesson in front of Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Avdivi. And he says, Loka, the person gets lashes. Rashi brings you one pasuk, in the margin they tell you it's actually a different pasuk, but the point is, he has violated the prohibition against doing malach on Yom Tov. Amar Leh, so Yitzchak Bar Avdimi says to him, Da Amar Loch Mani, who told you that this fellow was getting malkos for this? Beis Shammai, he says, you want to know what you just did? You just quoted Beis Shammai, who says you're getting malkos. Da Amri, lo amrinan mitoch shehudro tzar letzarach hudrinam mishalo letzarach, because Beis Shammai doesn't believe in mitoch. And therefore Beis Shammai says, there are malkos for shechting this carbon inappropriately. Di Beis Hillel, because if what you were saying was consistent with Beis Hillel, ha amri mitoch shehudro tzar letzarach hudrinam mishalo letzarach, he says, if it was Beis Hillel, then I would say, well, Beis Hillel in our Mishnah took the view that since you are allowed to transport things for the sake of food, therefore you're allowed to transport items for some other need. That's the way he understands our Mishnah, that Beis Hillel permitted transporting the Shabbat of the Sefer Torah, even though it wasn't for food, because it was for a tzarech. That's good enough. And so too, when it comes to shechita, Beis Hillel is going to say that granted, it's not for the sake of eating, because it's a karban ola, nonetheless, there's another tzarech involved. And you are satisfying some other tzarech. What the tzarech is in bringing the karban, I want to come back to. But that's the first approach. In other words, what we're doing is we started from a different place, and that's why it can be a little confusing. But what we've come around to do is explain our Mishnah.
According to Beis Shammai, how did you ever take a lulav, an esrei, on Yom Tov, if you couldn't do it yourself?
Did it at home.
Or you left it in shul.
The Beis HaMikdash, I left them at the Beis HaMikdash.
Wow.
That we know. There's a whole discussion about whether you can take someone else's and so on. So yeah, you just leave it at home. Either you do it at home or you leave it in shul, or you have an eruv. But that's all within Beis Shammai. Beis Hillel's view is mitoch permits it. Since I'm allowed to transport for food, I'm going to someone's house on Yom Tov and I want to bring a bottle of wine, I'm allowed to transport the bottle of wine for us to drink. So too, my child just sits down in the middle of the sidewalk and is having a tantrum. I can pick him up and carry him home. That's a tzarech also. That may also be tzarech on nefesh, so I can get home and have dinner. But the point is that the principle of mitoch is what's driving Beis Hillel in our Mishnah, and parenthetically, it's also driving the Olas Nedava case. The Gemara is going to come back to the Ola discussion in a separate sugya, so we're not going to spend time on it now. There's a whole separate discussion about that. But the point is that Beis Hillel is a believer in Mitoch. Beis Shammai is not a believer in Mitoch. That's the way we try to read our Mishnah. To which Rabbah says, I don't think that's what's going on in the Mishnah. Maskif la Rabba. Rabba challenges. He says, He says, what's your basis for saying that Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel are debating regarding mitoch? Dilma be'iruv v'hotzah l'shabbos, ve'en iruv v'hotzah l'yom tov k'miflagi. Maybe the machlokas is whether there's a concept of eruv and a prohibition against transporting things on yom tov. Maybe that's the machlokas. I'm going to come back to Rashi in a second who unpacks that, but just to read the Gemara first. Mar Savar, one view is, and this is the view of Beis Shammai, Eruv v'hotzah l'shabbos ve'eruv v'hotzah l'yom tov. There is an iser, there's a prohibition against transporting on yom tov, just like on Shabbos. Umar Savar, eruv v'hotzah l'shabbos ve'en eruv v'hotzah l'yom tov. And the other one says, no, it's only a Shabbos thing and not a yom tov thing. Ki dichsiv, because the pasuk says in Yirmiyahu, v'lo sotziu masami batechem b'yom ha-shabbos, do not take things out of your house on Shabbos. Therefore, b'Shabbos in b'Yom Tov lo. It's only Shabbos, and it's not Yom Tov. Yirmiyahu only said Shabbos. So he says that's my take as to what's going on. It's not a mitoch discussion at all. It's actually a hotzah discussion. Yeah.
But even according to that, according to Beit Shammai, not according to Beit Hillel, but according to Beit Shammai, it still has to show that he doesn't hold mitoch. Even if
Why?
He holds, because if he holds that there is no, you're not allowed to do Hotza'ah on Yom Tov,
yeah,
he also has to hold that even if Hotza'ah is permitted for Otal Nefesh, it's not permitted for these things.
Correct, right. Now that's true. According to this, nobody would hold Mitoch. Not Beis Hillel, not Beis Shammai. The only reason Beis Hillel permitted it was because there's no issue of Hotza'ah. The Homalacha doesn't exist.
What's his basis for exemption that Hotza'ah is not...
Right now the pasuk in Yirmiyahu, we have to see the Rashi still, but the pasuk in Yirmiyahu that only said don't transport things on Shabbos. He didn't say Yom Tov.
But the basic in the Torah is Hom Lacha Lo Tasa.
Yeah, but Hotza has always been strange. Hotza, as Tosa says in the beginning of Shabbos, is Malacha Geruah. It's this very unusual Malacha. But it's going to become more unusual in a second. To just hang in there, and you'll see a little bit more about why Hotza'ah would be different. You have to see Rashi that we're waiting on.
It's a bit of a stretch to quote a pasuk in Yirmiyahu, and it's almost like an asnachta, and it's not a deraisa.
Right. So let's see the Rashi because he's going to clarify a lot of this. Take a look. The Rashi is. Be'eruv v'hotzah first, and then we'll go right into the one that follows it. But Rashi Be'eruv v'hotzah tells you why I'd be using a pasuk in Yirmiyahu first of all, and why this malacha in particular. Be'eruv v'hotzah im ne'esra hotzah b'yom tov v'nitkinu hilchos eruve chatzeros li'yom tov im lav. Whether the laws of eruv chatzeros were created for yom tov or not. What's Erev Chatzeros? What is Erev Chatzeros?
2,000 amas.
That's Erev Tumah. Between one Rosh Hashayachid and another Rosh Hashayachid. What's the definition of the prohibition against transport on Shabbos? What transportation is biblically prohibited on Shabbos? Either private to public, or public to private, or four amos within a public domain. There is no biblical prohibition against carrying from one private domain into an adjacent private domain. If I have a backyard, and someone else has a backyard, well, a carmelist is a whole other thing. From a biblical perspective, it's a rishus hayachid, so I'm not even bothering with that. But the point is, if I have a yard, and the next door neighbor has a yard, and there's just a gate in between them, so midi oraisa, biblically, I could transport back and forth all day long. Midi rabbanan, we have a takana not to do that, right? We associate with Shlomo HaMelech that we don't do that. So that's what we're talking about here, is a dirabbanan, fundamentally. It's a very, very early dirabbanan, but it's a dirabbanan nonetheless. So continue the Rashi. Ve'ein iruv v'hotzah v'chulei. Ve'af agav di'ikar hotzah mi'vayaviru kol b'machane nafkalan. Even though the rule fundamentally about hotzah is from the pasuk in Parshas Beshalach regarding the man, that they had a message go throughout the camp that you're not supposed to leave your tent and take things out of your tent and so on. Now, nonetheless, by Yirmiyah upiresh lo nesra ella b'Shabbos. Yirmiyah came along and explained this is a Shabbos thing. This erev chatzeros, at any rate, whether he's going to say it for all of Hotzah is now unclear because the first Rashi indicated not. The second Rashi didn't distinguish. But he says mishum hachi kasharu. That's why they permitted it on Yom Tov. Aval shchita, as opposed to shechting the karban, she av malacha, ubichlal lo sasa chom malacha, shchita is an av malacha, and it's under that biblical pasuk of lo sasa chom malacha, a malacha filu the base hillel, umhutra letzarech, lehutra shalo letzarech. I will tell you that even base hillel will not accept mitoch. He'll say, you may be allowed to shecht in order to eat, but not for other purposes. And therefore, this statement that there are malchus for shechting in Olah will apply to Beis Hillel as well. So the point for us, that what emerges from this discussion, is that we're talking about specifically Erev Chatzeros, the Derabanan, and the question is, will that apply on Yom Tov? And that's the debate between Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai in our Mishnah. The debate is not mitoch.
Right.
The debate is Hotzah an issue? That's the idea. Now, the truth is, this second Rashi makes me wonder a little bit. And some of his wording here seems unnecessary, and I sort of wonder what he's getting at. But I'm not going to go into this particular Rashi in depth. There's a lot else that we have to see. Interesting. What will Rashi do with the fact that the Mishnah used the words Rishus HaRabim?
You have twice look at this question?
Well, Tosis is dealing with it with a different issue. Take a look at it. You'll see. Tosfos Dilma be'erev Otzah k'miflagi on this suggestion that the debate is actually about erev and transport. Pirush Rashi u'bechatzeros, right? Like we read. The kasha might sarach erev bechatzeros got a yom tov. He says, who needs erev chatzeros for yom tov? Habalav hachimotu letalta mechatzer lechatzer letzarach. He says you're allowed to carry from one yard to another yard for need anyway. To which he responds, Lekach nira laharab rechaim kolein de garsinon iruv hotzah below vav, not iruv vehotzah, but iruv hotzah v'achi perusho im asur hotzah meuruv bo im iser. It should be iser. There should be a yud there. Im iser hotzah meuruv bo bein shar malachos af lagav shi malacha gerua. So he takes out the Erev Chatzeros idea. And he says it's just general Hotzah. Right. I mean, that would solve the problem of this Rishus HaRabim thing. But one wonders what Rashi was thinking. You're right. It's very funny. The way that Tosfos reads it is that it's not about Erev Chatzeros.
Right.
It's about general Hotzah. And to answer Alan's question of, well, why would I have thought Hotzah should be any different? The answer is because Hotzah is malacha gerua, it's a lesser form of forbidden work when you compare it to the others, because it's not as clear that you've made any changes in anything the way that you have when you did other malachos.
It's interesting, Rabbeinu Chananel says, Rishus l'Rishus.
Which would also be, which would be consistent with Tosfos.
Yeah.
And not with this idea of Erev Chatzeros. Once you point out, it says Rishus HaRabim, I sort of wonder what is going on in this Rashi.
The concept of mitoch only applies in the case of a mitzvah.
We have not yet said that. We have to see a Tosfos who's going to entertain that, but we're not quite at that stage
yet. That's why we learned. I remember the Havacha and the Shulchan Aruch was like that, right? Has to be that solid, right?
Yeah. We'll get there.
Mishkanos also has the Rishu.
Yeah. No, that Rashi. Now I'm wondering what that's doing in the Rashi, but yeah. The Okay, so the idea for us, for our purposes, is that Rabbah has put forth this other idea about what's going on. That we don't do a whole mitoch thing. We do, instead, the question of, is there an issue of hotzah at all? Now, Rav Yosef comes along and he challenges Rabbah. And there are two different ways to read Rav Yosef. I'm going to go first with Rashi, who fits the edition that we have in our Gemara, and then I'll take us through Tosfos. And it's going to be a very important point. What Tosfos is going to teach us is going to have ramifications for how we understand the idea of Mitoch. But first we'll read it with our Girsa, our text, and Rashi's approach. He says, Maskif la Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef challenges Rabbah. El me'ata, if this is so, meaning, if you are going to take the idea, I just want to make sure I get this right. Within Rashi. Yeah, this way. I'm one mistake in my notes. If you're going to take this idea that Beis Hillel does not believe in an Isser Hotzah, if you're going to say that Beis Hillel believes that transport on Yom Tov is actually permitted, that's the argument you want to make, then Liflegu Ba'avanim, then why did you make this a debate about a child, about a Sefer Torah, about a lulav? Aside from the fact that Sefer Torah and lulav are mitzvah items, these are all items that have a purpose. If you don't believe in the whole issue of Hotzah, and therefore, as Rashi says, there is also no issue of Muktzah, because Muktzah and Hotzah are tied together. We discussed this when we began this year, one of our first year, when we talked about the idea that Muktzah is a function of the prohibition against Hotzah, against transport. So if so, then you should have mentioned stones as your example, which would have taught us a whole lot more. Right? In other words, I read a Mishnah, and the Mishnah says, Beis Hillel says you're allowed to transport a child. Right? And I'm allowed to transport a Sefer Torah and a Lulav. So someone asks me a question. Am I allowed to transport a cup? Am I allowed to transport a dirty tissue? Right? And someone's going to ask me a question like that. So I'll say to them, well, the only examples we have in our Mishnah are mitzvah items, Lulav and Sefer Torah, or a child. The child isn't muktzah. Hang on.
Okay.
I know, and it's a Tosfos that I keep saying we're going to get to, but we're not there yet. The point is, if you're going to give me this narrow list of mitzvah items, of non-muktzah items, then I can't really extrapolate from there to the cases people are going to ask me about, like the dirty tissue case. However, if you would have mentioned stones, then I would have known that all these cases are mutter, because stones are muktzah, normally. And yet you're letting me do it. So if Beis Hillel really believes there's no issue of hotzah, and there's no issue, therefore, of muktzah, then he really believes you are allowed to move stones. So our Mishnah should have said, Beis Shammai says you're not allowed to move stones on Yom Tov, and Beis Hillel says you are allowed to. And that would have been a big kiddush. That would have been a novelty. You follow?
Yeah.
Alan, you with me?
Yeah, no, I'm with you, but I'm just thinking, in terms of Beis Shammai, maybe you don't need it for Beis Hillel, but maybe there's a reason for Beis Shammai. It's almost like a kol vachomer. Even a Sefer Torah you can't carry it.
Right, so the answer could be, you're right that we didn't teach the extreme heter of Beis Hillel, but we taught the extreme isser of Beis Shammai, to which I would answer you the way we answered in the Gemara. We saw this once before, where they said, if Beis Hillel believes X, then you should have taught that in the Mishnah, because it would have taught me the heter. And our answer was, well, maybe it was to show you kocho de Beis Shammai, how far Beis Shammai goes to be strict. And the Gemara's answer was, no, karach de hetera adif. It's more impressive that Beis Hillel will permit this than that Beis Shammai will prohibit that, and therefore my bias would have been to teach the extreme heter. So that's what I would say here too. Ella, he says, rather, midelo miflagi ba'avanim, from the fact that they didn't mention stones as a case, Shmamina behutsa shalola tzarech pligi. The answer is the debate really is a mitoch debate.
It's not a mitoch.
Is a mitoch debate. It's not a debate about whether there's eruv and hotzah for Yom Tov or not. Everybody agrees there is an issue of eruv hotzah for Yom Tov. You're not allowed to transport on Yom Tov. And the debate is mitoch. Beis Shammai saying I don't believe in mitoch, and Beis Hillel saying I do believe in mitoch. And the reason we didn't use stones is because there's no tzorech for transporting stones.
So even Beis Hillel would say, I can't carry anything I want?
Correct. Mitoch has a limit. Yes.
But why are we...
It has to have a tzorech. That's what we're going to talk about. That's exactly where I'm going with this.
Why don't we just answer that Beis Hillel doesn't hold that way? He only holds if it's a mitzvah.
We haven't gotten to mitzvah yet. What are you?
Well, why give the example of stones? I mean, that's the. You know.
Because according to this, no. Because that's the whole point. What Rabbi Yosef is arguing against, the whole point that Rabbi Yosef is trying to make is that you're trying to tell me that they believe there's no iser of hotzah at all. If you believe there's no iser of hotzah, it does not matter what you're talking about transporting. It could be a stone just as easily as it could be a sefer Torah. You can't tell me there is an iser of hotzah for certain items and not others. That's just not true.
I don't understand one thing.
Just make sure I'm getting this straight here. There is no such thing. Either there is no iser of hotzah, and everything is fair game, from what? Stones to sefer Torah, because there's what? No iser of hotzah.
Maybe the tzorach you're allowed to carry, otherwise you're not allowed to carry.
No.
You're saying mitoch.
No, you're saying mitoch.
It's from Yirmiyahu. Maybe that
no,
was
no, 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 no. It's not from Yirmiyahu. No. Either you're saying there's no such thing as an iser against transporting on Yom Tov. That's one possibility. Or there is an iser against transporting and it gets lifted under certain circumstances, i.e. mitoch. Those are your only possibilities. If you believe there's no such thing as hotzah, then your all bets are off and I can carry everything. If you believe that hotzah is aser, then you'll say, so it's not lifted for stones, it is lifted for sefer Torah. But he says, your point was, you wanted to argue there's no such thing as hotzah. And if so, there's no reason to distinguish. You should have mentioned stones. That would have taught me a real lesson. That's his point. There's no such thing as saying there's an iser of hotzah for non-mitzvah items. There's no iser of hotzah for mitzvah items. There's no such thing. Only thing you can say is that there's an iser of hotzah and it's overridden due to mitoch for certain items, possibly mitzvah items, possibly not. We have to talk about that still. But those are your only two options. No iser hotzah, everything is fine. Or yes iser hotzah and certain things are permitted. Mitoch, in other words. Gerard.
No, it's okay. I see it. We're going to learn the Rashi.
Yeah. So that's the idea. That's the way Rashi frames this, because Rashi has the girsa that we have in the Gemara. Now, we're going to see Tosfos on this, but let's just take a look at the Rashi to go through it here. He says, Liflagu ba'avanim. They should debate regarding stones. E ein iser hotzah, ein iser tiltol. If there's no prohibition against transporting it, there's no prohibition of muktza either. Shalo nasar tiltol elamishum hotzah, because muktza itself was only a function of the prohibition against transport, as we saw way, way, way back. Umashalo gazru al kol tiltulim, afilu al ochlim v'kelim, mishum de'ein gozrin gezera al hatzibur elem kein rov hatzibur yecholum amod ba. He says, technically speaking, mukta is a function of hotzah, of transport. Based on that, you should say that anything I'm not allowed to transport is also mukta. In other words, if the reason for mukta is we don't want you to move things around lest you carry them outside, violating a biblical prohibition, then everything should be muktzah. I shouldn't be allowed to pick up a sefer either. I shouldn't be able to pick up a utensil. But they said, we can't do that to people. That's like the perfect example of a decree that people could not live by. So therefore they said, only certain items. And if you go through the Gemara and Shabbos, they tell you exactly which items were prohibited, and how at one point it was a very broad gezera, and then it was narrowed to only three kelim, a whole discussion there.
The Isra of Musa that had not
nothing to do with what's, but with what the object is for. And if it's not suitable for that to be used for yantav, we're saying it's muksa. Okay, so we do have the concept of muksa that has nothing to do with actual.
No, all of them come from hotzah. The only one that would not would be if it was a kli shemalachto le'iser. Not a kli shemalachto. No, not a kli shemalachto. Sorry. No. Not that. Something which I'm worried that if I pick it up, I might actually use it for the wrong purpose. That may be a separate thing. But other things, all the other muktzah items, where essentially we say that you didn't intend to move them on that day, whether because they're fragile and delicate, whether because they have no mutter purpose, whether they have no purpose at all, or you know they're disgusting, whatever it is. Those are all really they're a result of the Isser Hotzah. Yeah. So Rashi continues to say, Ela midlo iflug ba'avanim, from the fact that they didn't have the debate regarding stones, the Mishnah did not mention stones as a case. Shmamina, we see from here, Dilakule alma yesh Hotzah ale Yom Tov. Everybody agrees that there is an Isser Hotzah on Yom Tov. But the Torah gave us this Ochal Nefesh that we spent our first two sources looking at. The Torah gave us this principle of Ochal Nefesh. You're allowed to do it for food. And Beis Hillel said, once it was permitted for these needs of Ochal Nefesh, it was permitted entirely. Ah, then why am I not allowed to do stones? The Rabbanan came along and said, if you're talking about something that involves strain and you have no need for the item at all, like stones, then they say asur. But a child, the Sefer Torah, you have a use for them on Yom Tov.
So I want to be clear. Here is saying for tircha, but if I want to carry a cup for no reason, but just want to feel like carry a cup, it's not a tircha, well, I would be allowed to do it according to Rashi.
Maybe.
Yes, yeah.
It depends. It depends on where you put your dagesh. Is it the fact that it's tircha, or is it the fact that it's lo tzarich?
That's what I'm asking.
I know, but I'm telling you, it's not clear to me. Ubeishamai les lehu migo. Beis Shammai does not believe in this idea of, since you're allowed to do it for this, therefore you're allowed to do it for other things. Only that which you need for eating, that's what the Torah said is mutter. And that which is not for eating remains asur. That's the way that Rashi understands our Gemara. What Rashi is saying is that the Gemara is saying that Rabbi Yosef is saying, if Beis Hillel really believed that there was no Isser Hotzah, our Mishnah would have used stones as the case. From the fact that we didn't, we see that Beis Hillel believes that there is an Isser Hotzah. His rationale for permitting is mitoch. And we didn't mention stones because we're not going to permit carrying something that has no function whatsoever, possibly something that is heavy and has no function, depending on how I understand Rashi, per Gerard's question. Now we have to see Tosfos. So the Tosfos we're going to look at is this big bottom Tosfos, but the printers, in trying to help us out by making our Gemaras cheaper because they fit everything in, made Tosfos really unreadable in the sense that it's a block of text and it's very hard to figure out what he's doing as a result. So what I did was, on your sheets, in Source Gimel, I broke down the Tosfos into the three segments that it has with bullet points, and hopefully this will help. I dropped also one phrase that would have been a big distraction, so I just pulled it where I have the ellipsis there. But Tosfos Hachi Garsinon. When you see Tosfos begin, Hey Gimel, Hachi Garsinon, this is our edition, or Hachi Garis as it is here, this is the edition of Rashi, he's telling you that there are indeed multiple editions of the text, and he says, Hachi Garis Rashi, this is the way Rashi did it. If this is true that Beis Hillel does not believe in Hotzah for Yom Tov, why didn't you have a debate about stones? And since they didn't have a debate about stones, Shmami, now we see from here, and so on. V'hati perusho, and this is the explanation of Rashi's approach. Ela me'ata de Beis Hillel leslo iser hotzah. If you're going to say that Beis Hillel says there is no prohibition against transport on Yom Tov, liflagu betiltel avanim, they should debate regarding stones, lishmi'inan rabusa de leslo hu behen iser hotzah, then you should have told me that even stones don't have a prohibition against hotzah. And from the fact that they didn't, shmamina behotzah v'chulei, that shows that hotzah in fact is not the debate. De Beis Hillel sabri mitoch, Beis Hillel beis mitoch. V'im tomar, and if you will say, kevan de Beis Hillel islehu mitoch, since Beis Hillel believes in mitoch, amai ein matirin afilu tov l'avanim b'chol davar, then why don't we permit transporting stones and everything else? Afilu eino tzorach yom tov, even if it's not for the sake of some yom tov need. V'yesh lomar, devada inachinami, dimida araisa, hova hutra, hutra lagamri. He says it's true. Biblically, everything is permitted, like we saw in the Rashi. Ela Rabbanan Gazer al Davar She'eino Tzarech Yom Tov, but the Rabbanan made the Gzera on something that has no Yom Tov need. Did you notice what he didn't say?
Tircha.
Anything that has no function for Yom Tov, the dirty tissue. The kevan de ikar hotzah nesra yesh lesar b'davar she'en l'tzarech yom tov klal. Since hotzah itself was prohibited, we should continue the prohibition regarding items that have no purpose on yom tov. We'll permit it for ochel nefesh because the Torah says so, and we'll permit it for other yom tov purposes because the Torah has given us this principle of mitoch that we believe in. However, it will not extend midrabanan. It will not extend to a case in which there is no Yom Tov need whatsoever.
Okay, so going back for Kisui Hedam.
Yeah.
Based on this, Kisui Hedam should be permitted by Beit Hillel because of Mitov. Because it has benefit on Yom Tov, because it allows us to do the Shechita. Because if we don't do the Kisui Hedam, we don't do the Shechita. And Beit Hillel said it's us, right?
Except that you can do the Shechita without the Kisui Hedam. This is not a tzarech of Shechita.
But people won't do the Shechita if they can't do the Kisui Hedam. It prevents.
But that doesn't turn into a tzarech. That just means we have to re-educate people. The fact that he's not willing to do it is not a tzarech. That's because he has to call up his rabbi and ask his rabbi, Rabbi, what do I do?
But we're going to permit lesser things like carrying a child or other things for children. Like, this is going to be applied to things that are even farther stretched for Tzarek Yom.
No. What you're suggesting, if I understand you correctly, is that we should argue to allow digging as a Tzarek because it's a Tzarek for Shechita. But it's not a Tzarek for Shechita. You can do your Shechita without it.
You're allowed to do the digging because if you want to keep something warm on Yom Tov, you're allowed to dig and cover it with dirt. To keep it warm.
Is that true?
I believe it is.
Okay. I don't remember.
Okay. So the act of digging itself, I believe, is permissible for Ochel Nefesh.
I'm not sure that's
okay.
True.
I'll double check.
Yeah, please double check. Okay. So Tosfos has given us Rashi. He then tells you that that Rashi is not following another edition in the Gemara. Adkan Pirush Rashi, one of the last bullet point in the first part of Tosfos. He says, Adkan Pirush Rashi. Up to here is Rashi's statement. V'loratza ligros kemoshiyesh besfarim. Rashi did not want to follow the nusach that we have in our books, which says, not we, us, we, Tosfos. We do not have it in our books. Ela me'ata, the question that Rabbi Yosef is asking is this. Hotzi avanim lebeis hillel, hachinami delo mechayev malkos. If Beis Hillel does not believe that there is an issue of hotza'a on Yom Tov, then a person who transports stones will not get lashes. Why didn't Rashi use this addition? De'im kein, hava masik leperush zeh, shim hotzi avanim lebeis hillel dechayev. Because the result of saying that, the result of taking this addition, is that the conclusion would be that Beis Hillel believes you are liable for transporting stones.
But you don't get malchus.
On Yom Tov. Correct, just without malchus. The Rashi, Kimle, the Beis Hillel Svira Lahu, Hoel Vahutra Hutra Lagamri. But Rashi believes that Beis Hillel says that it's entirely permitted. Once we come in with Mitoch, everything is fine. El Rabbanu de Gazur, but Davashin at Sarach Yom Tov Klal, just the Rabbanu prohibited if there's no Sarach Yom Tov. We're going to come back to this edition, so don't get stuck on it right now. We're going to come back to it because Tosfos is going to defend it. So don't get hung up on that line. Vikasha. But first, Tosfos explains why he doesn't like Rashi's approach. He says, Chada, first of all, De Amrinim B'Psachim, the Gemara B'Psachim says, Ha'ofem Yom Tov L'chol Loke. If you... well, just wait a second. Ha'ofem Yom Tov L'chol Loke. If somebody bakes on Yom Tov for the sake of eating after Yom Tov, he gets malchus. V'lo amrinan mitoch. We don't say mitoch to permit it. V'afilu l'rabba d'lo laki. And even Rabba, who says there are no lashes for it, hayinu mitam ho'il, as Gerard says. That's because of ho'il. Ho'il meaning the principle of maybe guests are going to show up. So if today is Thursday, and it's Yom Tov, and I bake because I want to be able to use it on Friday or Shabbos, I may not get lashes anyway, Rabba says, because maybe guests would show up and then I would end up using the bread today. There was a reasonable possibility that I could use it today. That's Rabba's point. It's a side point for us. Hovi Yisramile Orchim, since if guests would show up, they would use it for them. Al-Mitam Mitoch Lo Ka'amar. But Tosus's point is, if we really bought into Mitoch, if we accepted the idea of mitoch, then why would you get lashes for baking on Yom Tov for after Yom Tov? It's a tzorech.
What's the tzorech?
Not a tzorech of Yom Tov.
Not a tzorech of Yom Tov.
What's the tzorech, though? Is it a mitzvah? Is he baking for a mitzvah on Chol?
Maybe I would use mitoch. No, I would say it doesn't matter. There's no lashes. It would only be an issur d'rabbanan. In other words, mitoch, we said, permits everything mid'oraisa, and then the rabbanan peel it back if there's no tzorech at all and say it's asur mid'rabbanan. But here we're saying he gets lashes. That means it's asur mid'oraisa. Now, I could have made an argument that your issur here and you're getting lashes for here is hachana, which is a separate problem. It's not the same thing as liable for baking without tzorech. It's baking for tomorrow, and you're not supposed to do that. You're using Yom Tov as a prep day for the week. But I don't want to get sidetracked, yeah. The point is that Tosfos says, if according to you, there is such a thing as mitoch, Rashi, and Beis Hillel buys into mitoch, then kindly explain to me why the fellow who baked on Yom Tov is getting lashes. Mitoch should have said at least that the only yisur possible is a derabanan.
But what he said about tirfa, this is a tirfa that's not needed.
Rashi said...
I mean, he didn't use the word tirfa, he used the tirfa in regards to the Avanim.
But why does the word tirfa matter for this?
Well, it's a tirfa, you're doing work for no purpose on Yom.
Nonetheless, Rashi said, whether you take Rashi's version or Tosfos' version, he said everything is permitted. He said everything is permitted midi oraisa, and midi rabbanan they create a gzera. According to Rashi, they create a gzera where there's tircha and no tzarech. Midi Tosfos, they create a gzera where there's just no tzarech. But either way, midi oraisa, your mutter. And further, Tosfos says, "Oh, the moche girsas hasfarim." Tosfos believes that Rashi is actually changing the edition. That Rashi originally had his edition. So Tosfos says, "I'm going to give you a different approach." He says, let's go with our edition, which said, if this is true, then that Beis Hillel would say, you're not liable for transporting stones, pirish mid'oraisa malchus, meaning you wouldn't get lashes, you wouldn't get lashes mid'oraisa. That's the addition that Tosfos has. So what Tosfos says is, the question and answer in our Gemara is as follows. Rabbi Yosef is saying, if Beis Hillel really believes in Mitoch, would Beis Hillel say that you don't receive Malkos for carrying stones? Would Beis Hillel go that far? And if so, why didn't he say so in the Mishnah? To which he then says the answer in the Mishnah is that he's explaining the Gemara. The answer is that there is a biblical prohibition against Hotzah, and Beis Hillel only permits it for Tzarech under Mitoch, and even Beis Hillel would not permit stones. That's the idea. The V'chi Tema Hachinami Imkein Liflegu Beis Hillel Bavanim Elavade Midelo Kemiflegi V'chule V'dafka B'Hotzah Sheish Batzarech Yom Tov Ktsas. Only regarding Hotzah, which involves some Yom Tov purpose, Amrinan Mitoch Shehutra Letzarech Yom Tov. That's where we say Mitoch. In other words, it's not what we wanted to say before. Mitoch permits everything, and then the Rabbanan came along and rolled it back. But Mitoch only works for something that has some need on Yom Tov. That's the way Tosfos is taking it. The Chol Ochal Nefesh Mutter. Ochal Nefesh is Mutter. Then it was in addition, Mitoch said, as long as there is some Yom Tov need. But if it's not for the sake of Yom Tov at all, then it will certainly be biblically prohibited. Like somebody who bakes on Yom Tov for the weekday, or somebody who transports stones. Deleka lo tzarech nefesh v'lasimchas yom tov. There is no tzarech involved whatsoever. Chayev mideoraisa. He will be liable biblically. That's the way the Tosfos presented. In the interest of time, I'm going to explain the rest of this Tosfos outside. But you can see it. You can see it here. What Tosfos then continues to say is, number one, as we've said, that the debate between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel is specifically where there is a Tzarech Yom Tov, just not Ochel Nefesh. And then he brings you Rabbeinu Chananel that you've been waiting for. I'll read it inside because Alan's been waiting so impatiently. The next to last bullet point, the middle of the paragraph. V'chein pirish Rabbeinu Chananel, and so Rabbeinu Chananel. Actually, no, I do have to go back then to read it. Didn't gain anything. He says v'chipligi beis shamayim beis hillel b'tvarim she'enu letzarech ochel nefesh v'igav ben tzarech yom tov ktsas. The debate between beis shamayim and beis hillel is regarding items that are not for eating but have some tzarech. Kigon, for example, katan lamulo, like to circumcise a kid. So now the kid is a mitzvah case also. Da mitzvah nikreis tzarech yom tov. The mitzvah of mila is called somehow tzarech yom tov. I don't understand why it's called tzarech yom tov. It's its own independent mitzvah. Nonetheless, it's what he says. V'lula v'latzeis bo, a lula for its mitzvah, v'sefer tara likras bo. V'chein pirish Rabbeinu Chananel, and sasa Rabbeinu Chananel as well, that there has to be a mitzvah need, and that's the common denominator in the three cases in the Mishnah. Avalesa perushan, but Tosfos says that's not true. That's not correct. Delav davka katan lamulo. It's not specifically you can transport the kid to give him a bris. Do it in shalom lamulo. The same thing will be true if it's not for a bris. Deshari gam tiul. He says you're allowed to go for a walk. Daha ashkechanami demesachkin bakhadur shakaran plata belaz biyom tov brishas arabim. He says they play with a ball. On Yom Tov, they play some kind of ball game in the road on Yom Tov.
Yeah, that's what he says. The word klal, right? If there's some remote prospect,
yeah. Well, he says, "Alpha got to leka elatiyul." The benefit of it is you get to enjoy yourself. That's it. The benefit is that you get to enjoy yourself. That's number one. He says the tzarech that we're talking about is not necessarily tzarech mitzvah. Tzarech includes any sort of pleasure that you're gonna get.
So would Tosfos, based on this, permit the mukmar? He doesn't have the concept here that has
of Shavu L'chol Nefesh.
Yes.
No, I think Shavu L'chol Nefesh still has to underlie what he's saying. His last line is v'im tomar hashochet ola mat tzarech lo ba. So he says, so what's the tzarech involved when you shech the korban ola? Right? I mentioned that when we initially mentioned that it will be mutter. Where's your tzarech? Yesh lomar da hachanami ika simchas yom tov. There's joy of yom tov. Shaloy he shulchan chamalei v'shulchan rabach reikan. You feel bad if you have a full table and there's nothing on the mizbeach. So it will make your yom tov a better day when you feel, ah, I brought a korban to Hashem. Granted, you're not supposed to. But it's enough of Eitz Orech that Mitoch would say you're not getting Malkos for having done so. Yeah. So the upshot of what we've said, to make sure that we're clear, because we're going to have to continue with this topic next week, the upshot is that we have proposed in the Gemara the concept of Mitoch. We now believe that that was what was the core of the debate between Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai in our Mishnah about transporting stones. Not stones, I'm sorry, transporting the child, the lulav, the Sefer Torah. The debate was, is this permitted under Mitoch? Beis Hillel says yes, and Beis Shammai says no. Within that, we had a debate between Rashi and Tosfos. Rashi says that Mitoch permits everything, and then the Rabbanan came along and said, but you need to have some Tzorech. And that's why stones are out, because they don't have a Tzorech. And maybe Tircha plus Tzorech. Tosfos disagrees and says, no, if it has no function, it's not permitted ever. Mitoch never rolled it back. It remains Aser Midoraisa. If it has some purpose, Mitoch comes along and permits it. And so Tosfos says the baking on Yom Tov for non-Yom Tov is Aser Midoraisa and a person gets Malkos because there is no Yom Tov benefit to it. Now, what if he says, well, we enjoy having a nice aroma of freshly baked bread in the house. Then you go back to the Shavuot Chol Nefesh. Is this considered a normal type of enjoyment? Maybe you can make that argument. I mean, not for them, because they didn't have their ovens in their houses. But theoretically, anyway. Okay?
Good.